It's no secret. We need more nurses here in Connecticut. And we know that our state government has focused on this, but are we doing enough to attract people to the nursing industry? Are we doing enough to retain them here in our state? And I wanted to get an update on this, especially because it is National Nurses Week. So back on the show with us is Marcia Proto, who is the executive director of the Connecticut Center for Nursing Workforce and somebody I like to go to get a snapshot of what's happening with our healthcare workers. And Marcia, we are so glad to be connecting with you again here on WICC. How are you?
Melissa, how are you? I'm doing great, and thank you so much for inviting us, the Connecticut Center for Nursing Workforce, and myself to give an update during Nurses Week. And happy Nurses Week to any nurse who's listening. We so appreciate everything you do, and we as a community are here to support you and continue your growth and development in the profession, which is such a rich profession and has such a positive impact on the health of our residents in Connecticut. So, and Melissa, special shout out to your mom. I know she's a nurse.
So
things are actually moving forward very well in Connecticut, so we're really excited.
Well, I'm excited to get an update on that. And of course, happy Nurses Week to you and really every single week of the year. I mean, where would we be without our nurses? I tell you, they just are the backbone, I think, of our society. I've always felt that way. I'm a little biased because my mom was a nurse, but I love our nurses and I love that we at least highlight them on such a grand spectrum, I think, during National Nurses Week. So I'm glad to be a part of that here on WICC. Let's talk about, Marcia, I want to first back up and talk about how we got to the point that we are at, because sometimes there's a misconception that we are only at a shortage because of the pandemic, but we were kind of struggling in Connecticut before the pandemic, attracting people and also getting people into this industry, correct? I mean, the pandemic certainly made it a lot worse, but we had this issue beforehand, correct?
Melissa, you hit the nail on the head. For nursing and nursing workforce, the pendulum just swings from zero to 180 and back to zero again. It never really seems to balance. So Connecticut, actually, I was cleaning out the offices. I'm transitioning out of my role at the end of June and found a blue ribbon panel report by Governor Bill O'Neill. And it was interesting because we were experiencing, you know, whether it's shortage or misalignment, you know, 34 years ago. So when we really look at how we can stabilize our workforce, I think what you alluded to, the pandemic was a huge wake-up call in how we onboard our nurses, how we provide professional development, how we allow them to migrate from one site of care to another site of care, and really looking at the whole, quote-unquote, human capital management of nurses. And you know, we have 89,000 licensed nurses in the state of Connecticut. A huge, huge number. But when we cut down the data to say, well, how many of these licensed nurses are actually working in nursing? The answer is half, about, 48,000. So the hard thing is we have licensed nurses who have always kept their license, but maybe working in a different profession. Or they're retired, but they're keeping their license because they volunteer and they need a license when they volunteer. So we really need to get a handle on, you know, who are those folks who have licenses and are not working, and would they like to reengage in the workforce? Because as you know, we have roles for everybody, from community health to senior services to volunteer with the Red Cross and other organizations that we vitally need well-educated and prepared nurses. So happy to say that our graduations have increased as of 2023. We now graduate about 2,200 RNs through our 28 programs, our registered nurse programs in the state of Connecticut. And our student enrollments actually increased. We're up to almost 7,500 of students in the pipeline. So exciting news. We are growing. And there's an initiative at the state of Connecticut called the Connecticut Health Horizons Program. And nursing was a benefit, a recipient of that, of those dollars, and it came from the American Rescue Plan. And what that those dollars are going for is to actually pay for faculty lines at our colleges and universities. Because as you know, when a nurse takes on a faculty role, they're taking about a 33% pay cut than what they would actually make if they were a practicing nurse.
Interesting. So, interesting. Yes. And I have to say, Marcia, first of all, that's a huge jump, a huge bump up in enrollment for students who want to become nurses. Mm-hmm. Why do you think more people are attracted to this? Because like you said, we kind of hit a lull for a little bit, but now, yes. I mean, 7,500 students, that's fantastic.
They're in the pipeline. So at the associate level, we count them from day one when they're enrolled because they are directly enrolled into the nursing program. We have what's called the accelerated programs, and we have 8 of those where somebody with a baccalaureate degree could go to school for 15 months and graduate. So those programs are starting to increase. And then when we count the baccalaureate students, some of our four-year programs don't admit the student from day one. They're admitted in a pre-nursing curriculum, but they do start their nursing curriculum in junior and senior year. So we count the juniors and seniors in the baccalaureate programs, the 4 years. So we're really trying to capture everyone in the pipeline, and we do want to retain everybody. And when you look at our retention rates at our RN programs, mm-hmm. it's only 6%. I mean, it's 6% is good, is our attrition rate. So we're retaining 94%. I think no other discipline in college can share that they're retaining 96% of their students. So we really do have a great, great retention rate for our nurses. So
I was just
I'm so proud of
that.
Our nursing schools and faculty. Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, that's almost the majority. How are we doing that? And again, we have Marcia Proto here, who is the executive director of the Connecticut Center for Nursing Workforce, looking at our nursing numbers in the state. How are we retaining that high of a percentage, Marcia, after students are getting out of their programs, out of school? How are we keeping them here in Connecticut? I thought there was a huge issue of competition, you know, just in our surrounding states like Massachusetts and New York and higher salaries. How are we keeping them?
Oh, Melissa, then I need to make a correction. These are students in the pipeline that we're going to stay, hopefully, in the education pipeline, which will graduate, which will increase our graduation rate.
Oh.
I'm not talking about retention and practice.
Okay.
That still is a sticky wicket.
Yeah.
So you've hit the nail on the head. We're still seeing nurses, once they graduate and enter the workforce at any setting, many of them are leaving about 25% between the first and second year. So
okay.
We still have that issue. Yet, you may notice lots of organizations like Hartford Healthcare and Yale and our small programs and Nuvance, et cetera, are all really looking at digging deep to say, how can we really find out what those needs are of our new hires? What's the gap in competencies and confidence, and really doing focused programming and development in those areas? So actually, I was speaking with Greenwich Hospital, and their first to second year retention, they're only losing 4% of their nurses. So they have some secret sauce going down on Greenwich, really to focus on those new hires to make sure they're really meeting the gap that they may have, making them comfortable, as well as enculturating them in the role of a nurse in a hospital setting. So exciting work happening. And we just had our statewide summit April 10th, and we did have practice settings come to share what their strategies were to retain and onboard the new graduate, but also how we're going to retain our experienced nurses, which we know when we lose an experienced nurse, lots of times we need to hire two people for that person, not just one, because of all the skills and roles and everything they've amassed over their career. So, very interesting. We need to dig a little deeper into that to find that secret sauce, but a very exciting time in Connecticut.
I always love getting a check on our nurses here in Connecticut. And Marcia Proto is a regular here on the show. She is the executive director of the Connecticut Center for Nursing Workforce. Really quickly, Marcia, you kind of snuck it on in there and just sort of kept on going before I could respond. What do you mean you're leaving? You're leaving in June?
I'm transitioning out of my role. I've had the good fortune of being the executive director for the Connecticut League for Nursing and the Connecticut Center for Nursing Workforce for almost 18 years, supported by a phenomenal board of directors over the years, as well as hundreds and hundreds of nurse volunteers. And I have a wonderful staff, Peg Malik, as well as Ann DePalma. And it's time for me to transition out and continue with my consulting business. And I have great news. An offer was made for the new executive director, and she'll be announced later today at our board meeting. Lots to come related to the transition. So yes, going to be going on to my preferment. So very excited.
I mean, I'm happy for you, but seriously, break my heart during the show live?
No.
Really, Marsha? Honestly? Is that what I mean to you? Is this what you do to me? My goodness. I mean, I'm excited for you. 18 years is nothing to scoff at, and what you have done for nurses across Connecticut, it's extraordinary. I truly am happy for you. Sad for me. Happy for you, though. That's
thank
very
you.
Exciting.
Thank you. Thank you. But before we do run on to your next question is, as you know, LPNs have been front and center due to what happened with one of our proprietary schools and displaced quite a few. So good news for our numbers in 2023, our new enrollees increased about 200 students to about 800 new enrollees for LPNs. We've had some other LPN programs lean in and step up and take some of the students who were displaced as well as expanded their enrollment. So I want to do a huge shout out to our LPN programs. We have Griffin Health, we have Lincoln Technical Institute in Porter and Chester, and then we also had an increase in graduates by about 100. So last year, our LPN programs graduated a little over 475 students. So we really are making some inroads to try to balance, the transition that happened. And now we're getting a better handle on how our LPNs are going to be used in the workforce. As you know, many of our hospital or settings are looking at going to team-based care, and there are roles for LPNs now. So as our education partners work closely with our practice partners, we can really find out what are the optimal numbers of LPNs we need to have in the pipeline, as well as how many we need to graduate each year. So good news on the LPN front in the state of Connecticut.
That is, and I appreciate that update because, in the last year, that has been huge news with those three campuses closing and now hundreds of students, sort of like left in the air, up in the air. So I appreciate that update. That was kind of part of the next, really the last part of our interview today, which is, what could we be doing? We know Connecticut is very focused on this, especially as you mentioned, since the pandemic. I know the governor has worked closely with you and many other entities in our state to try and bolster our numbers. And we know that schools and we know that hospitals are trying to step up and create more space for people to get their clinicals done. So we know that that this has been an effort. But what are we missing? What could we be doing either better or what could we also be incorporating, maybe adding to our pipeline of efforts to try and recruit and retain more nurses to Connecticut?
That is a great, great question. So as you may know, there's something called the National Nurse License Compact. And what that is a multi-state nursing license. There are 42 other states in the country that are part of the compact, which means when somebody goes for their initial license, they have an option to choose a state-only license or be part of the multi-state license. And so you can choose either or. If you choose the multi-state, that does give you flexibility to practice in other states as well. You would just need to file some paperwork to actually get licensed, quote unquote, in that state, but you don't have to go through the transcripts and the whole process. So that may be helpful, and I know our legislature is looking at that now, that those nurses who are on the border states, if they have capacity, could come into Connecticut and maybe work a shift or two, right? So we could gain nurses, but at the same time, nurses could also exit us across our borders as well. But it does open up a wonderful opportunity for telehealth and other opportunities and even teaching that our nurse can actually remain in the state of Connecticut and they teach in Arizona or they do telehealth for Humana in Louisville, Kentucky, and that would help align our available nurses. But I think we really need to be strategic and really communicate and look at the quote-unquote in and out migration to get a good handle and find out what is the secret sauce to bringing more nurses across the border to practice in Connecticut?
So it's interesting.
Huge opportunity there.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, Marsha, because I was actually talking in the beginning of the week when we were marking the start of National Nurses Week, and I had a couple of listeners who reached out and said, I have a friend, I have a bus driver, I have somebody in my community who is, was a licensed, nurse or a licensed a dental hygienist, whatever, in another country. But when they come here, even though they are legally here, they've become U.S. citizens, you know, whatever the case may be, they have to start all over. They got to go to school all over again. And so the question was, is there a way that we could be doing kind of like what you're saying? Is there a way we could, you know, see if you've got somebody like I look at my sister-in-law, for example, she from Brazil. Mm-hmm. She's a dental hygienist in Brazil. Mm-hmm. But she, if you know, when she came here, it was like, no, you'd have to go to school and start all over again. But, you know, when you've got people who've got 10, 15, 30 years under their belt in another country, is there a way Connecticut could be making that transition a lot easier? Because the idea of starting all over, she's like, no, I wouldn't do it. But she loved the work that she did in Brazil.
Correct. And there are organizations that will validate education and credentials for the different allied health, nursing, and medical profession. Yet I don't think, as you've just alluded to, it's far from a seamless transition. And so I think lots of organizations right now are looking, because as you know, it's a global shortage. But we do know, you know, in the past, we had a pipeline from Ireland. We had a pipeline from Canada of nurses. We had a pipeline from the Philippines of nurses. Everybody's hurting for nurses, as well as other healthcare providers. So question is, how does our state of Connecticut effectively work with these national accrediting bodies to, you know, be a soft land, and what could be done to evaluate their credentials and their clinical skills? And as you know, we have very, very robust simulation centers at both our academic institutions, but also our practice institutions. You heard that Hartford Healthcare is actually partnering with a country abroad to really bring best practice simulation there. So we're getting smarter, but I think it goes back to your initial question. We have so much money in the state of Connecticut going into healthcare and nursing, but is it aligned correctly? And are we leveraging the right populations? I held my 43rd annual student day on ground with 830 senior students. We asked them, I know it's too late right now because you're seniors and you'll be graduating, but would you want to be a certified nursing assistant while going to school? We had an overwhelming, resounding yes.
And I'm sure.
How many hours would you work? Under 10, 10 to 15? When we calculated, it was over 1,000 full-time equivalents.
I guarantee that.
So we're not
leveraging
our population. So maybe we don't spend so much money and resources getting people into the CNA role, because we know there's about a 35 to 50% turnover in that role, but maybe we can get nursing students, and wouldn't it be great if we exposed them to other opportunities outside of the hospital to say, gee, maybe home care or long-term care is someplace I'd like to begin my nursing career, RN or LPN. So we need to be smarter with aligning our resources and aligning our populations.
Yeah, I think that's such a great point. I mean, I can remember being in school and, you know, in college, and I remember being able to work as kind of like a shadow or an intern, if you will, at the television station that I ended up staying at on and off for 10 years in Burlington.
Exactly.
You know, being able to work while I was in school just made me want to grab a job as soon as I got out and stay in the industry. And that station retained me for 8 years. I stayed in Vermont. So I would think that makes a huge difference. That you make a very, very good point. And Marcia, this is why I love talking to you. And if people want more information, you can always check out their website, ctcenterfornursingworkforce.com. Thank you so much for your time. And again, happy Nurses Week to you. And I look forward to staying in touch, of course, with your organization, and good luck with the transition.
Thank you. Always a pleasure, Melissa. And thank you and Connoisseur for giving us an opportunity to reach your listeners. And again, I'm actually speaking at Sacred Heart University, the St. Vincent's College final pinning after 116 years. So St. Vincent's, as you know, is now migrated under Sacred Heart University. Mm-hmm. So it's an honor. So I will be down in your catchment area delivering that address at their final pinning ceremony. So proud to be part of that legacy. So
that's amazing.
Exciting times for nursing, Melissa.
It really is. Marcia, I appreciate you. Thank you for all you do and for taking the time to always come on WICC.
My pleasure. You have a great day. Thank you again. Bye-bye.
Thank you.